God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar. You will see the Bible come alive as you see the centuries unfold before your eyes. Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood, co-founder of Conservative Theological University, will present a 7,000-year world history and Bible timeline, revealing God's world history, past, present, and future. Recommended for pastors, Christian school teachers, Bible students, and homeschoolers. It all happens Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A light lunch will be provided. Registration is $99 and includes syllabus, lecture, and the light lunch. You will never view the Bible in the same way after you attend this powerful, informative seminar presentation. It's God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar with Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood. Saturday, August 27th. Register now. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about our republic is at stake, therefore vote. We've been talking with Raymond Johnson, but Raymond, if you would hold a moment. We have Matt on the line. Matt, go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Delighted to have you join us.
It was my pleasure. I was enjoying listening to Raymond. He always has a good insight about what's going on.
Yes, he does.
The question I really have is, I'm looking at all these people that pretend to be Republican and they keep on voting for all these taxes. you got a lot, you know, and it looks like, you know, it's Lenny Curry, who is, he says he's a Republican, was chair of the Republican Party of Florida, and I don't think there's a tax he hasn't liked. And of course, all his people around him are the same way. So, you know, it's a bad omen for, I think, Jacksonville and Republicans and Duval County until we get rid of these people.
Yes, absolutely. I'm in full agreement.
So I think one of the things I'd like to talk to you about, Dr. Youngblood, is that race that Tim Baker's wife is involved in. And I think that, you know, I hope the people go out and vote. And the disrespect that Tim Baker, you know, he's a guy with lobbyists for JEA that got a lot of money, and his lawyer wife, you know, shared a partnership, and she got some of that thing. And I think that the attacks that they're doing on Republicans, didn't Ronald Reagan say the 11th commandment, do not make fun of Republicans or something?
Speak no evil of your Republican candidates.
Right. Apparently, Lenny and his little group, including Tim Baker, don't believe in that. They believe it go all-out war. Kill, you know, knock down all the buildings, destroy people's lives unnecessarily so you can get the power that you want going forward.
And that's absolutely. When it comes to that, as you know, Matt, there's the pushed to remove all of our historical legacy monuments in the city under Lenny Curry. And as you alluded to, there was the attempt to surreptitiously steal and sell the JEA, where the Bakers are involved in that, and now they're wanting his wife to be a legislator in Tallahassee. Speak to that issue. There's a lady that's running against Baker, Jessica Baker. Who is the lady that's running that you feel is the ideal candidate, and why do you think that?
Well, first of all, Christina Meredith is one somebody I strangely enough just met her about 3 months ago. And it's a woman with integrity and trust, and that you can actually believe that she's going to do the right thing for not only for, it's not for her. She truly believes running for office, she's supposed to represent everybody. And,
yes.
And representing everybody means you're not out for power yourself. And if you looked at the other side of the table, all Jessica and her husband, Tim, want to do is get power. And you know what? Who was that quote? Power corrupts absolute power, corrupts absolutely. Well, that's Tim Baker and his wife. And I'm tired of dealing with them. I'm tired of dealing with Lenny Curry. And if you think Lenny Curry's been a great mayor, vote for Jessica Baker. If you think that everything he's done is disrespectful, non-transparent, then you vote for Christina Meredith, because she is going to be open out there among the people, listening to everybody and doing what's right, not what's good for themselves.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, so that you'll know, this is Matt Schellenberg. Matt represented us in District 6 for 8 years on the city council. And so I'm looking forward to the day that he runs for office again. We can put him back in office representing us. Matt, I'm thankful for your stand and for your tenacity and standing. And with this, Christina Meredith, just give a little brief biographical, if you can recall it, for our listeners to understand why you and I both are in agreement that she's the one that needs to be in that seat. What district seat is it, and what are the three or four major points that you think is so vital in her candidacy?
Well, let's go back to her background. She came from a abused situation. She was in was adopted, taken care of by the state. She overcome that. In fact, she lived in a car for a year. She had, when she was going to Nice. And you know what turned her around? A military officer at Nice gave her the support and the structure to do what's right. And then she ended up in California. People make fun of that. She went over to California for 2 years and ended up becoming Miss California and immediately came back to Jacksonville to be supportive of her sisters and brothers tell them with structure and a goal, you can accomplish everything. Now, what she wants to do, she cares a great deal about the foster care system because it is terrible. And her experience would indicate that she knows some direction about how to do it. I think that she's greatly supportive in the Republican Party. Just look at the actual Republican entities that are supporting her. And those are the people that know who she is, which is a Republican, and believes that a good government pleases everybody. And then you look at the other person. You know, the only people supporting her are people that have been are Tim Baker's, her husband's, clients. And you know what? That tells you something, that no one outside that little bubble is supporting his wife, Jessica Baker. And it gives you a clear vision about who she is versus whose Meredith is, and she's going to do a great job supporting DeSantis and his movement going forward with education that you've been talking about and all the other things to clean up the actual waste that's going on in Tallahassee and the bad programs that have existed, and you need to get rid of them, okay? Let people do what they want. We don't need regulation. We need people to have freedom to fail and be successful without government interference.
Absolutely. Now, tell our listeners that district number that she's running in. That's Christina Meredith running for district.
I think it's – I'm kind of embarrassed now because I've got so many confusion. It's the – if you live in Southside, half a Mandarin, and all the way out to San Pablo, that is her district. That is her district, and incorporates a great deal of the Southside beaches – area in North Florida, if you can picture all that, Deerwood, Deer Creek, Bay Meadows, a half a Mandarin, which would be east of Old St. Augustine Road. In fact, your church is in her district. And
that's District 17. Growing,
and it is the fastest section of Duval County.
Yes, that's District 17 for our listeners' 17. Benefit.
And thank you. What's important is this woman understands what it takes to be successful, in, not only in her personal life, but in her business life and overcoming tragedy. And she's going to listen to the people because she knows how to change the system to make it better for everybody and quit wasting tax dollars on stuff that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And that's what DeSantis is trying to accomplish. That's why he wants to get good school board members in there, because it takes and I hate to say this, it takes more than her vote. She's got to get all those other Republicans to understand that she's been there, she knows what to do, and give her the leadership to do and accomplish this one area, which would be so important about efficiencies of government as well as in the foster care system.
Amen. So your statement then would be that our listeners need to cast the ballot for Christina Meredith, District 17, as we cast our votes, voting for one that's going to take a stand representing we the people and not representing the power brokers in Duval County.
That's correct. Hey, let me just add one other thing. I agree with you 100% on that. The military, the actual school board budget is more than the city council budget, and they have seven people on there, and you really only have one conservative, unfortunately, and that's Charlotte Joyce. The other interesting thing is it's like Biden's inflation bill, lower inflation, it's just bogus. And that millage rate increase, only 65% of it goes to teachers. So you can't sell it saying it's going to be for the teachers when only 65% of it goes to the teacher. You know what 10% goes to? Administration. Why does administration get 10%? And why isn't the other 25% that you're talking about, why does it have to go to athletics? What the hell is a school board spending their money on? And when I ran, you've got to have an audit in there to get rid of all that crap that's going on with Ms. Green and that school board, because they're not paying attention to all that money they already have.
Absolutely. So I say no, no, no to any increase on taxes for the school board. It's on the frivoling away, wasting the tax dollars. And for the taxpayers that's voting, we need to say no to any increase if those dollars are going to the school board, because they have proven that they do not know how to spend the taxpayers' dollars wisely. Ma'am.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raymond. I enjoyed listening to you. Keep up the good work. Get Charlotte Joyce and April elected. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Matt, for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the seriousness of this election. We're talking about the need for constitutional republic representation to continue and not to devolve into a democracy where mob rules. We're talking with Raymond Johnson. Raymond is very, very, very familiar with the majority of our candidates. Raymond, we're talking earlier about the different candidates you recommend and why you recommend them. But one of the things that our people need to understand is we need to vote for those that are going to stand for the innocent human being in the mother's womb. We're going to need to vote for those that are going to protect our national heritage monuments. We need to vote for those that are going to protect our children from the sexualization and the brainwashing of our students and teaching them the critical race theory, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in our public school system, destroying the education. We need to vote for those candidates that are going to protect our faith, family, and our freedom and those things that we have under our Bill of Rights. And as a result of that, there are certain ones that we cannot vote for if we say that we're Christians. And Raymond, I can say this, the blanket statement, get back for your dialogue and discussion. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you say you're saved, if you're a patriot, if you're a Christian, it's an impossibility for a conservative to vote for any candidate on any level if that candidate believes that the murder of a human being in the mother's womb is okay. If that candidate believes that the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda ought to be taught to our students in the classroom. If you have a candidate that somehow, some way believes we need to continue to tax and spend, we need to say no to that candidate. If there's any candidate on a local level that's school board or otherwise, that believes we need to continue to dip into the till, of the taxpayers' money to frivolously waste it on things like knocking down an entire shopping center downtown and making a public park area out of it rather than it be income producing. And I could go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Right. But who are some of the other candidates, and where do you stand on them, and what do our listeners need to know as they cast their ballot?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm so happy to have heard former city councilman Matt Schellenberg call in. And so I appreciate him, and I've certainly worked with him. And so I appreciate the opportunity to help him, and maybe in the future we can help him again. And I was going to say that he went exactly where I was going. So to discuss the three state house races, and man, I mean, he was talking about, I mean, that is just one of the most important things that we can do right now, is to stop the political mafia, you know, in Jacksonville. And I won't, you know, we're talking more about the candidates, so we'll have a more detailed conversation about this political mafia, you know, on another call some other day. But he's exactly right. You know, it's a political machine, and Tim Baker's running his own life, and just horribly smeared this wonderful, wonderful lady, Christina Meredith, that candidate for state house that Matt Schellenberg was discussing. So definitely, if you're over there, Christina Meredith is that. But moving on, and that's District 17. So let's back up and talk about District 15 and District 16 for state house. So again, that political machine has all their bought and paid for picked candidates, and the Baker machine, the mafia machine, is managing all their candidates. So you have the more less funded grassroots Christian conservative candidates running. And so over in district, we'll just go numerically. We won't talk about district, state house district 15, state house district 16. 15 actually includes all of Nassau County and dips down into the Oceanway area north of 295 and is east of Main Street to the ocean, and then comes down out of U.S. 1 into Nassau County into the Dinsmore area. It jumps over far west Jacksonville, west of Chaffee Road and Old Middleburg, which is like, you know, Cecil Field and Maxville Baldwin. So in District 15, you've had on another of my good candidate friend, Emily Nunez, who's running against the political establishment, the chairman of the Republican Party of Duval County, and is responsible for a lot of these problems. But man, you know, Emily Nunez, again, she has just proven herself. I mean, 12-year military record of Navy and Marine Corps, 3 years with the Blue Angels. She too has been through some, you know, hard times like the other Miss Meredith. You know, she had she actually spent her 18th birthday in boot camp right out of high school. Grew up over here on the west side, and but during her 12 years in the military, she lost both of her parents, passed away. That's pretty tragic to deal with. And so that got her back home and out of the military. And she's been a successful financial advisor and has gotten involved in politics. But, you know, I would say for her, what's special or thing behind her is that I have known her a couple of years, and her proven ability to stand up and speak the real truth and actually go against the political establishment. I've seen it multiple times that Miss Emily Nunez has done that and spoken out, and so that's why the establishment is pretty angry with
her. Yes, wait a minute. Let me jump in for just a moment with Emily Nunez running in, I think you said it was District 15.
15.
Isn't that a three-way race at the present time?
No, that's not. It's just her and her opponent. That's the establishment in Duval County.
Okay, that's right.
The three-way race is in District 16, which I was about to discuss.
Yes. But in that particular district, she's running against an individual that's supposed to be, as you've used the term, an established candidate, one that thinks somehow, some way, that he is the first, foremost, and the final answer on any issue that comes up. And so the name that our listeners need to recall is Emily Nunez, if you're in District 15. Emily Nunez, we've interviewed Emily before you're on this broadcast, and I'm thankful for her candidacy, for her stand, and I'm praying that God will give victory. We've got a few more minutes, so Raymond, if you will, jump to the next candidate where there's the three-way race and tell us something about that.
Right, perfect. Yes, I wanted to do that. So that's District 16 for State House Representative. So there's that makes three State House seats that are open with good conservatives. And so in that district, which is, if you're listening over, it includes all the Jacks Beach area east of the Intercoastal, and then comes up into, I guess you'd call that East Arlington, you know, St. John's Bluff area, all out that way. But that's a three-way race with the conservative, and governor has endorsed Kyanne Michael. I've gotten to know her, and man, what a wonderful lady. Now, that race does also include, we won't even call names, but there's an establishment, another candidate that's just been there for a while, and about 20 years as an elected official. And then the really terrible candidate, which is part of that Bolton paid for, the Tim Baker machine that Matt Schellenberg was talking about earlier. And, that guy's got an active arrest warrant out in another state. He was caught lying about his college degree from Auburn University. Auburn University said, nope, he's never graduated from here. So, that guy's just a mess. And he's there because he's a Tim Baker client and had committed, of course, to vote for Jessica Baker as Speaker of the House and part of that whole corrupt thing.
But so make it clear for our listeners, it's Kyanne Michaels. Kyanne Michaels is the conservative Christian candidate endorsed by our governor, and is one that we've interviewed here on this broadcast also, and it's one that we highly recommend because of her integrity, because of her position, because of her credentials and background and ability. What else can you tell us about Kyanne Michaels?
I wanted to get on that, so don't want to spend time on the other folks. So, man, let me tell you, and I know she was just recently on, but to recap, if you don't know a little bit about Kyanne Michaels, let's clarify. Look, you know, her opponents are calling her a liberal, and this, she doesn't hide from her story. It's very well known. She is a black woman, and she was a Democrat. She is a Christian, and she has saw the light. She had a life-altering, changing experience that really woke her up to the truth. And so in 2007, her son Brandon was killed by in an automobile accident by a twice deported illegal immigrant, and so that was just the absolute life altering situation for her that woke her up, and of course the Democrats didn't help her. She realized, hey, you can say, well, you know, a border issue, an immigration issue, oh, that's not a state issue, that's not a local issue. Yes, it is local issue. She'll tell you that. You know, just what a horrible experience of losing her son from somebody that literally had been deported. He was here the third time illegally.
Yes.
And so anyway, she's been a conservative a while. She helped with black conservatives for Trump, helping win over people, the walk away movement of the African Americans that are seeing the problems that the slavery that still exists in the Democratic Party. And so they're leaving. And so, yes, she is a conservative, a great Christian woman, and obviously immigration's up at the top of her level. But all these moral biblical issues, she's willing to actually fight. And
yes.
So, you know, the governor endorsed her because, hey, for his first 4 years, she's been right there working with him. And he's helped her, and they've worked together. To, you know, we need to help solve these immigration issues in the state. So,
that is Kyanne Michaels. Kyanne Michaels is the representative that we would like to see go in for District 16.
Yes.
And I recommend that, and I've recommended her before on this broadcast. Let's talk about what are the key elements for our city in this election. It is the special election for a sheriff, and we have mm-hmm. I think there's 5 people that's running for the sheriff's office. And out of the five, there's only one that's a Christian, conservative, Republican that's running. His name is T.K. Waters. T.K. Waters is the one that we've recommended. I've talked with him, had communication with him. Tell our listeners why it's so important to elect T.K. Waters as sheriff.
Well, I think it's some, you kind of summed it up pretty well. You know, from what I don't know him personally, but I definitely have a pastor friend who was a former sheriff's office and still associated with JSO as their chaplain. And man, he's full endorsement for TK Waters, and he knows him personally. And that's the one thing I've heard very well is being a real man of faith that, like, literally attends his church every Sunday, you know, said, hey, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. So I tell you, what a night and day difference between him and his opponent. We just cannot afford to turn over our sheriff's office to these radical BLM, sympathizers and of that thing. So, yes, absolutely, the only Republican.
Yeah, Raymond, for the benefit of our listeners, any one of the other four candidates for sheriff, in a different nuance, they're talking about making a major change in the way we do policing in Duval County. And that's a secret signal for saying we want to defund the police. We want to set up a community policing system. And a community policing system, again, is the silent signal that we want to have folks going out without weapons on them so that they go out and have some kind of psychobabble to talk with the rapists, the murderers, and the thieves, and somehow, some way resolve our. What we're talking about with all the candidates, with the exception of T.K. Waters, is that we want to go into the process of having law enforcement like found in Portland, Oregon, like is found in many of the places in the Northeast, where you basically have crime that's going out of the roof and at the same time doing nothing about it. I've been in some of T.K. Waters' meetings where he talks about the way to solve crime and what he intends to do. And he is the man for the position. So I want our listeners to understand our city is in the process of electing a new sheriff, and that one ought to be T.K. Waters. And this is a temporary thing because there'll be another election next March because this is just to fill the vacancy when Mike Williams resigned. So we say T.K. Waters. Now, Raymond, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Yes. Quickly give us one other tidbit of information about any other candidate that you'd like to recommend.
Well, we did leave out a city council race that's sort of North Jacksonville. I think that's Mr. Gaffney's district. And so Charles Barr, if you're anywhere over there, Charles Barr is a great guy, very conservative, and man, we sure need to flip that, those seats. What I want to close with real quick is just here's the encouragement. I'm looking at the Duval County elections website, 15.5% of turnout so far. And right now there are 49,463 Democrat votes to only 40,971. Now, the Republicans do turn out more on election day, but here's the point. There's more Democrat votes in Duval County right now. So conservatives, Republicans, Christians, you better get out and go vote tomorrow.
Absolutely. It could be the difference in our republic. And ladies and gentlemen, I close with Psalms 146 and verse 3. Put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, our help comes from God. We need to make a conscious, deliberate decision that we're going to vote for that candidate that meets the requirements in God's word, that are able men that trust God, fear God, not covetous individuals, but those who want to serve God as a servant of God through the civil government system that God has given us. So I pray that you'll vote. I pray that your vote will count. Every vote does count. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to vote for faith, family, and our freedom in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Next semester, ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.